Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
So go ahead and grab your seats. It's great to be in church with you this morning. So awesome. Thank you, guys. Three services. You've just been going strong the whole time. And to our creative team up the back, just legendary. Reuben and your band of merry men and women, you do a phenomenal job every week. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, how are you guys? You're looking good. Well, we are two services down. We saved the best for last. All right, in the at the beginning of our new series called Stretch. Somebody say stretch. And so I was thinking about what to bring, and I thought, what about a message that stretches us? And I got to thinking about the three biggest criticisms or questions that people have about our church here at C3 San Diego. And I thought, it's probably a really good day to barbecue a few sacred cows. So I thought, I'm going to go there. I'm going to answer those questions. Just so you know, we are not above criticism, and every piece of criticism I get, I always process with the Holy Ghost. Lord, is there any truth in what you're saying here, or is there something I need to learn and glean from? But there are three questions that keep really being brought forward to our leadership team that I thought, why don't we just go ahead and talk about them? Because we're not those kind of people that, you know, just let things remain in the, you know, the back room and whispers. And sometimes the private conversation needs to become the public conversation. So I thought that the Stretch series is the perfect time to talk about that. So my message today is called Breaking Taboos. We're going to break some taboos, y'all. I'd love it if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. We're going to start reading at verse 1. And I'm going to introduce you to a taboo breaker. Some of you may know him. It says this. At about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some heads of grain and eating them. But some Pharisees, turn to the person next to you and say, some Pharisees, saw them do it and protested. Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath. Okay, how many people here have friends or are married to someone who always like pointing out the rules and reminding you of the laws and sucking the fun out of every situation? Like, you can't park there, you can't do that, you're about to break fire codes. Whatever. Jesus then said to them, haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? So he meets their legalistic, fun-sucking confession with a confession of his own. He answers a question with a question. And all the best debaters know that that's the way to do it. He said, David went into the house of God and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priests on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? I tell you, there is one here talking about himself. He was talking about himself. There is one here who is even greater than the temple. But you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you truly knew the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. And then it goes on to say that then Jesus went over to their synagogue where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. The Pharisees asked Jesus, does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath? And they were hoping he would say yes so they could bring charges against him. And he answered, again, answers a question with a question. If you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? And then he answers a question for them and he says, of course you would. Doesn't even give them occasion or opportunity to lie. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? And all the dog lovers amongst us need to be reminded of that sometimes. Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man with the deformed, withered hand, who was on God's house on a Sunday, stretched out his hand and it was restored, just like the other one. But then the Pharisees, who are a bunch of morons, called a meeting to plot how to kill Jesus. So it's hilarious because they've seen the greatest miracle of their lifetime happening in front of their eyes in their church, and they're not pumped about the miracle. They're not pumped about the fact that a man who had a withered, deformed hand from birth is now restored. They're cranky because he healed someone on the Sabbath. I tell you, it's a sad thing, but there are a lot of churches like this. There are a lot of churches out there that operate with the traditions of men and put their laws and their traditions above people. We are not that kind of church. So in answering the three criticisms that have been leveled at our church, I'm going to break the three taboos that a lot of people say, you can't talk about that in church. Oh yes, we're gonna. Let's go for it. Question number one. Why do they always talk about money at that C3 church? Why do they always talk about money? Okay, I'm glad you asked. So when we first came here 12 to 13 years ago, after the first service, we had a businessman come up to Pastor Jürgen and he said to him, Pastor, I am so grateful that you taught around the offering and the tithe message. He said, you know, I've been to so many churches, I've been a Christian for a really long time, and I've sat in churches and they never teach around giving. They just pass a bucket around and have the worship team sing a song, and they don't even let me know why they're asking for my money. He's like, I thank God for the courage in you to actually teach and give revelation around why it's important to give and to tithe. Just probably about 2 or 3 years ago, I was sitting in a church and the pastor, senior pastor of the church said this around the tithing and the giving. He said, you know, our church is currently 60% of people are giving their tithes and offerings on auto pay. Now, when that percentage reaches 75%, we're not going to talk about giving anymore. We're not going to have to talk about tithing anymore. We're just going to talk about other more important things. No. Right, good answer. So I'm sitting on the front row and I'm thinking, how selfish can you be and still breathe? Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Wow. Sure, if this tithing and giving was just about the church paying its bills, yeah, right. Go ahead and do it during a song. But if it's more than that, yeah. If it's about your personal revelation and breakthrough at the point of finance and your blessing, then you bet your bottom dollar that we're going to be talking around giving and giving you the keys to financial prosperity. A recent survey in the US said that by far above and beyond, the greatest stress factor in people's lives in the United States of America is around money. Why on earth would the church be silent about an area of people's lives that has them deformed and withered when they have the answers? So let me break it down and tell you why I was righteously offended with what that pastor said in his church. Number one, if everyone in your church knows about tithing, then you're not reaching new people. You got no new converts. And you know what? I love the fact that we get to see your beautiful faces every week. And I thank God that you're committed to this church family. But I want our family to grow. I want our family to be added to. No one left behind. You know, when it comes to us building the church, we have the same confession as the greatest showman. Never enough, never, never, never enough, never, never. Okay? So we're hoping that as much as we love seeing you every Sunday, that our church is being built with people who may come in withered and deformed at the point of their financial revelation, but by the grace of God, through courageous teaching, as we speak on the things that matter to you, that you will receive a revelation from heaven that will shift your financial world. Amen. I know, amen myself. Okay. Point number two. The second reason I am offended with what this man said is that tithing is not just about paying the church's bills. Jesus is building his church. Tithing is about you having a personal revelation of God's faithfulness, and that when we trust him and bring in the tithe, he will provide and protect. Malachi 3:10 says this, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house." It's talking about the provision for God's house. "And then test me, says the Lord of hosts, that I will not fail to throw open." That's like some passionate action. I'm not just going to open it. I'm going to grab that thing and I'm going to rip it open. And I'm going to pour down upon you so much blessing, there will not be room enough to contain it. And if that wasn't enough, he says, "And I'm going to rebuke the devourer on your behalf." Why would any church that loves its people not speak around money? Why, oh why? The third reason I was offended with what this pastor says was because, is there not a cause? In the words of King David, is there not a world that has been steeped in darkness? And it is our responsibility as God's sons and daughters who have had a revelation of his love to go ahead and advance the kingdom on planet Earth. Take ground, buy buildings, start events, go into high schools, fund missions work, do all these kinds of things. Is there not a cause? We got a cause at C3 Church worth giving to. And we're not afraid to ask because we believe in the cause of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We believe that there are men and women in this place that are called to do more than warm a seat on a Sunday, but be part of building a kingdom that has no end. You know, there's a hymn in the olden days that went like this. "And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You know, one day we're all going to stand before Jesus, and all that's really going to matter is what we did for the kingdom. And at C3 San Diego, we're not afraid to speak around areas in your life where God wants you to stretch. Trust him to a whole new level and be part of an eternal kingdom in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen? That's the first question down. Question number two. Why do they allow female preachers? Especially those women preachers that talk about money. They're the worst kind of all. All right. I'm glad you asked. Okay, let's start with the Proverbs 31 woman. So the Proverbs 31 woman is heralded and lifted up as the example and the illustration of what every husband wants his wife to look like. And, you know, even some husbands use her as like a battering ram on their wife's psyche and says, "I wish you would be more like the Proverbs 31 woman." But I want to ask you the question. What kind of environment do you think brings forth a Proverbs 31 woman? Well, funnily enough, the scripture itself tells us what kind of environment. The scripture starts by saying this, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her value, for her worth is far above rubies." If you want a Proverbs 31 woman, someone who's savvy in the marketplace, someone who is a wheeler and dealer, real estate, considering fields and buying them, someone who is the gold standard in parenting and homemaking. Hey, she's even into foreign exchange. She gets her merchant ships from afar. She is legit. She is respected in the community. She's got it all going on. But if you want that kind of woman, you got to be the kind of man or the kind of church or the kind of community that is willing to put value and worth on the women in order to get that gold out of the inside of them. So to all the men and the fathers and the husbands here today, you need to make like the Proverbs 31 husband and do what he did. Oh, many daughters have done well. He's using comparison in her advantage. You know, us girls, we hate comparison unless the comparison is done in our favor. Oh, then we love it. Then we're all about it. Oh, many daughters have done well. My gosh, honey, you got the goods, but you excel them all. At C3 San Diego, we release women into their true godly calling to be the prophets, teachers, evangelists, apostles, leaders that they are called to be. And now, if that ain't enough, Jesus enters the scene in the New Testament, and he literally turns the religious system of the day on its head. He deals with every sacred cow that the Pharisees and Sadducees, every pun intended, elevated that misrepresented the heart of their father, of his father. So he radically alters the position of women in that age. He elevates them to partnership with men. He interacts with them in a way that was so counterculture. He taught Mary and Martha illegally the scriptures. He was a taboo buster. He was a lawbreaker in all the best ways because he wasn't happy for society to live deformed and withered. And every church, every world needs the expression of the mother and the father, not just one voice. Listen, you wouldn't want to come to C3 if it was all Jürgen all the time. I'm sorry. I live with the man, okay? You need a dose of Mama Leanne. And I'm telling you, go on, all applause appreciated. But the same would be true in reverse. If it was all me all the time, we are better together. We complement one another. When God looked down at man and Adam was walking through the world, you know, like the earth, a little bit sad and forlorn, and he didn't even know he was, and there was takeaway containers everywhere and piles of dirty laundry as far as the eye can see. And he looked down and he said, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. In other words, I strengthen his weaknesses and he strengthens my weaknesses and we are better together. Woe to the world if we have only one voice of one sex dominating the church's landscape. It will be unhealthy and out of balance. So Jesus comes in. And he flippin' liberates everybody. And people are freaking out, okay? They are literally freaking out left, right, and center. And then all of a sudden we get to 1 Timothy and we hear the Apostle Paul write this. He writes, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. It's like the proverbial record scratch through eternity. And all the women stop and they drop their glow sticks. And they walk home in their platforms with their sequined dresses and they put their feather boas away. The party's over. Jesus has left the scene and now we have Paul. Paul telling us that we have to be quiet. Good luck, Paul. However, that's not where the story ends. Because this same Paul went ahead to write in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that is not just for the men, that is for the women too. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Now, if that is not enough to convince you, have a look at this. Paul went on to promote women to key leadership roles. Sila, just think about that for a second. And in many instances, gave them authority to speak to the early church. According to the New Testament, women did function as leaders, as apostles, as prophets, as evangelists, as pastors, as teachers, and they were positioned in these roles by such people as the Apostle Paul himself. Mic drop. And you are just filling your head with one philosophy of a half-regurgitated thing you heard from a crusty old preacher 30 years ago about women not being allowed to lead and speak in church, and you've based your whole Christian life on a lie, and you suffocated that poor woman that's next to you, and you turned your chair around and turned the radio off every time Joyce Meyer came on, and your life is the poorer because of it, because Paul himself was elevating women into these roles. Look at this. Philip, the disciples' daughters, were listed as prophetesses. That's a whole new level of speaking the word of God. They spoke, thus saith the Lord. They weren't even speaking on behalf of Paul. They were speaking on behalf of God himself. Priscilla, and I'm having you put it up here for the naysayers and the people that want to argue with me. Don't argue with me. Argue with the Lord. Take that home. And at the end of the day, it's not about what I say. Some of you have based your whole Christian life over what other people have said. What does the Lord say? The Bible and the Holy Ghost will bring you into all truth. Go home. You test me. I'm not offended. And again, I am not the poster child for women's rights. I am not a feminist. However, I am a women's liberationist. And I am a male liberationist because Jesus was both of those things. So where were we? Philip's. Priscilla was known as an authority on the teachings of Jesus. She and her spouse were a formidable ministry team who taught Apollos, like Pastor John and Victoria. Phoebe was a deacon and Paul's emissary. She represented Paul to Rome. This is heavy duty. And listen, that's if you're forgetting. That's if you're forgetting Deborah in the book of Judges. I mean, that's if you just skip over every scripture in the Bible that talks about the authority that women carried and the platforms that they stood on. Junior was a co-laborer with Paul and was noted among the apostles. The big dogs. The apostles were the big dogs. They were the CEOs of the church. They touched everything, pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist, the whole crew. Chloe was a church leader. Eudia and Syntyche, who went on to start a small startup company in Silicon Valley, were leaders in the church of Philippi. Nympha had a church in her home, and quite an unfortunate name. Apphia led a church in her home. Hello, another level there. She's leading the home church. And then the chosen lady, the name in which I would now like to be referred. No, I'm kidding. Hashtag. But who doesn't want to be called the chosen lady, right, Yvette? The chosen lady. I mean, this is like, you know, when Prince changed his name to a symbol. It's like, don't call me Sharon. Call me the chosen lady. Okay, so this is next level. The chosen lady was an elder. And Lydia, God bless her, funded the church through her business. She was a pathfinder. And she hosted the church in her home. What a woman, what a woman. So at the end of the day, if there is any confusion, and there may be some, about what is righteous and good, we do what Jesus told us to do in the book of Matthew chapter number 7, and we judge every tree by its fruit. The Bible says a bad tree cannot bear good fruit, just like a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. I want to ask you today, where do you think the church would be globally without the voice of a Joyce Meyer? Where do you think the church would be globally without the voice and the influence, not just to women, but to men, of a Beth Moore? Where do you think the church would be without a minister the likes of Catherine Kuhlman? Where do you think the church would be without an Yvette Williams? Where do you think the church would be without a Becky Lynn Heinrichs and a Melissa Higginbottom and a beautiful Allie who just graduated after 12 years of college? Where do you think they'd be? They'd be half crippled, deformed, and withered. And that's why we're not content to sit back and not go there, because we're going to go places other people don't go, because we care about people. And what a sad day when you look at other religions that have shut down women, and they're grey, and they lack colour, and they're strident, and they're lacking compassion and nurture and empathy, and in some cases, wisdom and discernment. You look at religions like Islam that have their women cover up lest they cause the man to stumble, instead of letting herself be beautiful and attractive like the Lord created her to be. Instead, we're going to put you in a blanket and tell you it's a sin to show your face. It's just not right. And that's not the kind of church we are. Well, listen, you might say, well, what about if those women get too big for their boots? Well, look around. They have. They are. They will. However, we don't stop doing what is right because some people don't know how to handle their freedom. We continue to release every voice. We continue to declare and promote that every healthy church has the voice of both a father and a mother. And we understand that Jesus is building his church, and it's the Holy Ghost's job to police the church. Like, he can't deal with the spirit of Jezebel. He takes care of those things. You remember when Miriam in the Bible, she was grabbing for power she couldn't have. She had a bit of a control issue. And God's like, you know what? A week with leprosy ought to sort you out. Happened. You can argue all you want. God took care of business. It's not our job to be Holy Ghost Junior. All we have to do is release people into their calling and model to the world a healthy version of what feminine leadership, authority, and influence looks like. We are better together. We are called to do this together, not to grab for power that is not ours to have, but to complement one another. And I've got to tell you today, I am not up here on my own authority. I am up here because my husband asked me to get up here. And honestly, I got to tell you, I didn't think I had a whole lot to contribute to the world except a pretty face. And now I'm 43, and Proverbs 31 says beauty is fleeting. So I got to get something else working for me. So I thank God my husband saw in me what I did not see in myself. And you know what? I don't mind standing against that crooked system that Jesus came to dismantle, that has women silenced, stereotyped and boxed in churches and not able to have them be liberated fully in what they're called to bring and contribute to God's family. Can somebody say amen? Amen. If we deny gifted women the opportunity to exercise their leadership ministries, we reject some of the very people that Jesus has appointed and given to his church, and we will have a church that is withered and deformed. Lastly, it's over, 1:10. Okay, come on, band people. Come on up here, legends. Question number 3. Why do they move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that weird? The short answer is yes. And it should be. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Have you ever seen someone get healed from their demonic oppression? It's not normal. It's a little bit weird. And you know what I'm sick of hearing? I just want to go to a church that isn't weird. Churches shouldn't be weird. Well, I got something to tell you, because I think church isn't weird enough. I think we should be a little bit weirder. We have tried so hard to not be weird that we've become stale and grey and irrelevant and powerless. And I'm telling you today, have you actually ever considered what the definition of the word weird means? I will tell you. Uncanny, unnatural, supernatural, unearthly, otherworldly, ghostly, some would say holy ghostly, mysterious, strange, abnormal, unusual. You know, I don't want more of what the world has to offer. Beige, average, typical, usual, natural. My gosh, the stuff that happens in our world, we cannot effectively disciple people without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't medicate a demon. The Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The best decision Pastor Jürgen and I made in the building of this church was that we stepped aside from the key role and said, Holy Ghost, you are the senior pastor of C3 San Diego. My gosh, as I read the Bible, I am convicted by the amount of things we don't see in church today, our church included. And I feel like it is the symptoms of a church that has become biblically illiterate and anesthetized with witty sermons. I'm done with witty sermons. I'm done like a dinner with witty sermons. I'm telling you today, you can podcast people all day long, but there will come a point in your life where you need an encounter with the power of God. You need an encounter with a God that moves in signs and wonders, to come to a church that isn't afraid to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, to see things that might be a little weird, might be a little uncanny, might be a little mysterious and otherworldly and ghostly and unusual, because God cares more about his people than he does about the laws of men. And so many people living deformed and withered lives because the church has backed up at the point of the gifts of the Spirit. And here's what happens when that happens, because that void is unfillable. So then the devil steps up, and we see people having to go to tarot card readers. We see people going to get their palms read. We see people engaging with the demonic realm to get a word from their future. But the Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit are given for the benefit of the body of Christ. I'm believing today, did you know that this is Pentecost Sunday? The anniversary of when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples and others in the upper room. I'm believing for God to do it again, because the church needs to operate in a level of power that has been sorely missing, because God cares about his kids. He cares about his kids. Jürgen and I get letters weekly from people talking about how their lives have been transformed since coming to our church. And more often than not, it's not about, hey, this message changed my life. It's about, I had an encounter with God. Someone prayed for me in the Grow class. Someone prayed for me at Connect Group. I was introduced to Colin and Melissa Higginbottom. I met the Robbins. I met Yvette Williams. Somebody spoke a word of faith. Somebody spoke a word of healing over me when I was sick. It is sad to me that the church is backed up in this area. Just recently, we were reintroduced to a couple that we knew 25 years ago, and she has... Recently, the woman in the couple was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And we knew them 25 years ago in another nation. And they reached out just recently. And they said, we want to come to America, visit you, so you will pray and believe God and stand in faith with us for healing. And of course, we're delighted to do it and believe in God for a miracle of epic proportions. But part of me was sad. Like, you have to reach back 25 years to another country in order to find someone that will believe God to stand with you for healing. It shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be this way. Our Jesus entrusted us with so much. The Bible tells us that the Spirit gives us gifts. And if you're a believer here today, you've been given a spiritual gift, a Holy Spirit gift on the inside of you. And wouldn't it be sad if you got to heaven and you didn't open your present? And God, and Jesus is like, what in the world? WTH? Like, what? That was for earth. You don't even need it up here. Everything up here is perfect. It's the kingdom of heaven. It's all, we've got all the goods. It's going on. You needed it down there. You were meant to help people with that gift. Why didn't you open it? And for many of us, it's because we've sat in churches where the pastors or the leaders are cowards at the point of speaking out the gifts of the Spirit. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it here, because the world needs it, because the world is deformed and withered in areas, and the only thing that will set them free is an encounter with the Spirit of God. So here's what the Bible says. The Bible says The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Put your hand up if you're an each one. That's all of you. Go on. And it's for the profit of all. So it's not just for you. It's not for you to hoard it to yourself in your little prayer closet. I'm going to prophesy over myself. I'm going to evangelize myself and then heal myself and then give myself a word of wisdom and then I'm going to discern my own spirits. No, the Bible says that it's for the benefit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom. I wonder where our Solomons and Solominas are in the house today that have been gifted with wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. Wow. Come on, who's that? Give me a shout if that's you. To another, a gift of faith. I'm looking at the Higginbottoms right here and others. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Where are the healers? Where are the John G. Lakes? Where are the Wigglesworths today? To another, a working of miracles. The world is desperately in need of miracles, my friend. Where are this generation's miracle workers? To another, prophecy. Right here, Lord. Here I am. Send me. To another, discerning of spirits. Where are the Mike Connells amongst us? We love Pastor Mike and we'll keep bringing him back. But we need more than one man to carry an anointing of discerning of spirits and deliverance. Because the world is messed up and they need to be set free. What does the Bible tell us about the demoniac of Gadarenes in the book of Luke? That had been tormented so much that he was naked, rubbing chains together, living amongst the dead things in a cemetery. And one encounter with Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he was seated, clothed, and in his right mind. Where are the Mike Connells of this generation? It's time for you to stand up and be counted because you've been gifted with a gift that you are not meant to go to eternity with. You are to unwrap and disperse here on earth. Can somebody say amen? To another, different kinds of tongues. Look, I'd be pumped if we all just got filled with the Holy Ghost at this point and spoke in tongues. But the Bible's telling us there's even different kinds. I'm not seeing that happen, and all I'm saying is it should. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Well, I can't remember the last time I saw that happen, if ever. It's time for things to change. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Every single person here that is filled with the Spirit of God is a believer, has been given a spiritual gift from the Holy Ghost to operate in on planet Earth. I'd love it if you'd stand to your feet. Paul had a conversation with his young protege, Timothy, and he said, you know, Timothy, you've got the same gift of faith in you that was resident in your grandmother and your mother. He said, I want you to fan into flame the beautiful gift that is on the inside of you by remembering the time I laid my hands on you. So today, right now, I want you to lay hands on your own head. And I want you to thank the Lord for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the great gift that the Lord has put on the inside of you. I declare today some of the greatest prophetic voices will come from this church congregation. Some of the greatest miracle workers will come from this generation. We call out the John G. Lakes. We call out the Apostle Peters. We call out the Smiths Wigglesworths and the Catherine Kuhlmans once again. Father, we pray for those with a gift of wisdom, wisdom given that is uncommon and unnatural, given by the Holy Ghost himself. Father, those who will bring counsel that is unusual and people would say, surely this must be the word of the Lord. And Father, for the prophets among us, God, let it not be relegated to the pages of the Old Testament, of the Elijahs and the Elishas, Father, of the Zechariahs and the Jeremiahs and the Isaiahs. Do it again, oh God, do it again, do it again. Father, I pray today you would fill us afresh, Holy Ghost, on this Pentecost Sunday. Father, that each of us would have a revelation, Lord God, of the gift that we need to fan into flame, Some of you are going to go out with a gift of healing and you're going to start to lay your hands on the sick people and they're going to recover in Jesus' name. Some of you have a gift of faith and you're going to see mountains move in your life and in the lives of your family because of the gift of faith on the inside of you. Some of you are going to prophesy, thus saith the Lord, and bring the word of the Lord and shift atmospheres through your prophetic utterance. Others of you out there are going to operate in wisdom, my gosh, that the world needs. I'm telling you today, the world is caught up in all kinds of calamity and chaos. They're deformed and crippled and withered, and we have the answers. So, Father, I pray today on this Pentecost Sunday, fill us afresh. Father, let us, our hearts burn and beat with what matters to you. God, we know that you care less about the laws and the traditions of men. You care about your kids. You sent us and commissioned us to set the captives free. Father, I thank you today for your spirit moving about this place. And even now I see some of you having revelations, words that people have spoken over you that you forgot about or you pushed away. Someone said, oh, you're so wise. Oh, wow, you know, like you're so gifted in this area and you dismissed it. But the Lord is bringing it back to your remembrance today and you're going to operate in that gifting that is from God to a whole new level. Father, I thank you for your word. Let it be sealed in our hearts today in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Give him a shout. Let us not leave the same. We can't leave the same. The world needs us to step up to the plate. And this is not just a challenge for everybody out there, it's a challenge for me. I don't want to read about these stories and not see them happen in my generation. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, you know what, the world got worse, not better, when you're around. You know what? When the world grows darker, the church should shine brighter. In fact, the world should start getting brighter because we are the light of the world. And if we're the winners, then the world should reflect the goodness of God and the glory of God and the light of the world. Because we're on the winning team, amen? Oh, so let's read this whole Bible. And you know what? You don't come to a church that doesn't have the courage to talk about the things that other places won't come. And you can thank the good Lord for that. And I give, obviously, all credit to God, but credit to my man. I tell you what, you've got a good, courageous leader in Pastor Jürgen. And there are many times where I would have backed away from the fire had it not been for his righteous stubbornness that says, oh, not on my watch. So we are going to continue to bring people into financial freedom. We are going to continue to release men and women into their God-given calling. And we are going to continue to be conduits for the power of God to move in people's lives and change them from the inside out. Somebody say amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.